Hi, welcome to James Miller Lifeology, where you learn to simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. My name is James Miller. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and a composer. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Let's get started. I wanted to take just a quick moment to thank you all who continually support and listen to James Miller Lifeology. I have been so blessed and honored by your continual support. I wanted to make sure that you don't miss out on anything exciting that's happening over here. So make sure you sign up for my free newsletter at jamesmillerlifeology.com. I have a great show for you today. I'm going to help you find happiness in your life. I'll also be interviewing life coach Vernon Brown, who shares his own story of finding his happiness and how he inspires his clients to continually find their happy. For more information about Vernon, please visit whatsyourhappy.com. Be sure to spell happy, H-A-P-P-I. I have some exciting news. Did you know that I'm on the radio 3 times a week? You may hear me on the same station on Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m., Fridays at 9:30 a.m., and Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. You may also hear me anytime on iHeartRadio as well as on all the other major podcasting platforms, including iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and many others. Simply search for the show name, James Miller Lifeology. Many of you know me as a psychotherapist, but some of you don't yet know me as a composer. I currently have 2 albums which have been released. Think of both albums like books. Each composition is written like a chapter in a book. The first album, Consolation, explores a character's grief and loss. And just like a story, the character experiences heartache and eventually he finds healing and hope. The second album, Restoration, follows the same character. He has an internal awakening, and in this awakening, he recognizes all the things in his life which aren't healthy, and it helps him come to a place of restoration, being restored to something greater than before. You may purchase both albums on iTunes or any other digital music store, or simply listen to them on iHeartRadio. The names of the albums are Consolation and Restoration, and my stage name is James S. Miller.
The name of the piece you're currently hearing is from the second album, Restoration, entitled Beginnings.
John went to visit his mentor, Dave, in a small cabin on the edge of town. What do people need to be happy? John asked. What do you think? Dave asked back. John thought for a moment. I think that if people have their basic needs met, food and a place to live, and if they're safe from harm and have a job to do, that should be enough to keep them happy. Dave frowned. Clearly, he disagreed. The old man jumped to his feet and marched to the door, beckoning his young friend to follow him. They trudged towards a farm that contained a large barn, and as they got closer, John could hear an infernal racket coming from inside. Dave opened the door, and John looked inside with amazement. He saw row after row of chickens, each of them in their own tiny cages. Dave looked at John and asked pointedly, "Do they have food?" "Yes." "Do they have shelter?" "I guess so." "Are they safe from foxes and other predators?" "Yes." "Do they have a job to do?" "Well, they lay eggs." "Do they look happy?" John looked closer at the hens. He didn't really know what a happy chicken looked like. "Do they smile? Can a chicken even be happy?" Before he could answer, Dave said, "Come with me." They left this farm and walked down a long lane towards another property. On the second farm was a large field full of chickens. They weren't cooped up. They were foraging around in the field, pecking for food. "Do these chickens look happy?" asked Dave. It seemed like an odd question, but John inspected them anyway, and it occurred to him that there was a different atmosphere here. These hens seemed to be in a more natural state, and they seemed more chickeny as a result. "Perhaps," John responded, not wanting to commit. "Of course they are. Don't be absurd," retorted the old man. "Here's the point. Both sets of hens have food, shelter, and a job to do. The first ones are confined to a small area where all they can do is exist. But these hens, these beautiful birds, even though they are more exposed to the foxes and hawks of the world, have an opportunity to really live." "We all have a serious choice to make," Dave continued. "We can either live like battery hens in a confined, seemingly safe existence, where we expect that everything will be brought to us, albeit in very small portions, or we can break free and live like free-range chickens, foraging around in a less predictable, slightly more dangerous world and truly live. You asked about happiness before. You can't be happy if you're merely existing. You have to live." John got it. Will you? Finding your happiness. The world will often dictate to you what happiness means and what you need to do to attain that. The reality is each one of us have unique personalities and interests, which eventually can help us find happiness. Many times we often think that items or merchandise or materialistic things are going to cause us to be happy. And of course, we've always heard it say, money doesn't buy you happiness. But we forget about that, and sometimes we really try and have money buy us happiness. One of the things I've always trained people to do is really understand what your body feels like. We all know what strong emotions feel like. For example, when you're angry or really anxious, we immediately know that something is off and we need to do something about it. Are you able to recognize the subtlety of what happiness feels like in your body? When you can start to really analyze what that feels like and really be aware of it, you'll immediately know if something really big in your life or something really small in your life is bringing you a sense of happiness.
When you do a good deed for someone else, and afterwards there's a sense of euphoria or there's a sense of, well, happiness that you experience, when you can really capture that in your body and really analyze what your body's feeling like in that moment, you want to use that as a template for how to then understand the different levels of happiness in your life. Now, for some people, the word happiness can mean different things. What I'd like for us to really look at is a sense of fulfillment, a sense of contentment, a sense of joy. Those different levels of happiness cause us to move our life in that direction. And of course, there's going to be things in our life which we're not going to be so happy about. For example, sometimes even at work, it may feel tedious, or maybe just even sometimes in relationships, it feels tedious. But when we're constantly looking to go in the direction of what that happiness feels like in your body, the more awareness you have of that internal scan of how your body does feel, the more you can move yourself in the direction of that. You can move your thoughts in the direction of how you feel. You can move your actions in the direction of happiness, of how you feel. Those are a really good tool and technique for that. So today, do something that causes you to feel happy and really analyze what that feels like in your body. And then use that as a template for everything you do. And if it doesn't feel like it's within that template, it's probably not bringing you happiness or bringing you fulfillment. It's a simple little technique that will help you move your life in the direction of where you want it to go. The more happiness you have in your life, the more fulfilled your life will be. Did you know I have a YouTube channel? That's actually how Lifeology started. I have well over 155 episodes that I've created specifically for you. I do know that many people struggle with listening to a full 30-minute show. So these episodes are about 3 minutes long. Each episode will give you a practical tool or technique that you can practice daily to help you simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. Simply go to my website, jamesmillerlifeology.com, or go to YouTube and search for my name, James Miller Lifeology. Vernon L. Brown is a happiness coach, professional speaker, and CEO and founder of What Is Your Happy, a solution and results-focused coaching practice. He helps people play full out in their personal and professional lives. He has so far helped 10,000 people and will double that in 2018. Without labels, he energizes people to go for what their personal definition of happiness is. Welcome to my show, Vernon.
Oh my God, James, thank you. Man, you got me excited hearing that. Thank you.
It's such a pleasure to have you on my show. You and I are both fellow Virginians, so this is going to be a great time to kind of talk someone who's local in my area as well. Now, the person with whom I'm speaking today, this happiness coach, you were not always known as that. From a little bit that I know about your background, you had a pretty rough background. So I would love to get kind of just the backstory of who you are, how you made this amazing transformation, how you continually inspire and help people find their happiness.
James, thank you for having me here. And I call this the foundation because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Just like you said, it was not a beautiful beginning. It was, I'm one of three, middle child. Let's not even go there. But
it's all on the show.
Well, you know, when we started out, you know, poor was an understatement. Mm. I remember just not having a lot of food to make it, you know, two or three nights, and we would just be hungry. Mm. We didn't have power. I just saw a lot of violence. You know, I'm not trying to make it, you know, too dramatic, but just kind of set the stage.
What was your real life? Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of people think, you know, I don't have a lot of money, I don't have a lot of food, I don't have the right clothes, but it's the personal impact that it takes on you. That means you're not fitting in. That means you might smell a little different because you might not be bathing, and I wasn't. We couldn't. Mm-hmm. And you think about what that does to a person. And I mean, what it does to a person, I mean to a young person who already came from a tough beginning, and you continuously compound that for a good, 14 years. Wow. Yeah, it wasn't fun.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I mean, the whole thing, not only in your family, how just the family system itself, but also how you're treated in school, how you're treated with your friends, maybe even your teachers.
Amen.
That must have been incredibly difficult as you tried to find your own way.
Yeah, and you said it exactly right. When you want to reach out to these people, you know, your friends, your family, these teachers, and you don't really have the language to, I can say that for myself. I didn't have the language to say, hey, you know, people can say, well, I'm poor. What does that mean? Well, we just don't have a lot of money. What does that mean? People just don't know how to help you.
Sure.
Especially when you're not old enough to articulate and understand it yourself. It was what I was used to. I knew it wasn't, there was more, but you know, I'm 14. I moved in with my grandmother because we got evicted. I'm not saying it's a beautiful thing, but it was a beautiful thing now. I wasn't just evicted, by the way, James. It was evicted by it was just terrible. Mm. We got off the bus and you see your shirt, you see, you know, whatever clothing lying on the ground, and you see boxes. And I'm like taking it in step by step. And I realized all of my things lying in the street. We lived in an apartment, you know, here in Virginia. And Then it dawned on me, it's the school bus that dropped me off, and the school bus is just sitting there looking at everything, and you're looking at the kids laughing at you.
Oh, well, Vernon, I'm so sorry.
No, you know, it's a gift, and I'm such a fanatic, and I'm happy to share the story, which I wasn't, 10 years ago, because it's a great story, because it's my story, and how you can become better than where you are and where you came from.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But what I think it also comes with perspective, too. The perspective that you have later on, of course, that's what's really where the learning comes, where you can really appreciate the gift that was given to you.
Right. And it's such a profound thing when you can do that. But you have to get enough distance away from it. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I was 5'10 in high school, maybe 170, 170. I was always called the whitest black guy, by the way, because of the way that I carry myself and talk and conduct myself. It's like, well, I didn't fit in, and sure, you don't have a lot of toys. What do you do? Well, the obvious choice is to read. So I read and read and read and read and read. But anyway, I turned 20 years old, or 19, 20. I went from 5'10 to 6'4, and I put on about 50 pounds.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Talk about late bloomer. But
I guess so, yeah. That's great. Yeah.
But of course, I'm still a nerd at that point. And I'm like, what is this life doing to me, And from there, I just dove in. I had to figure out what made me tick. And if I didn't know, I needed to figure it out. And I knew one thing, that I had enough negative experiences in my life that I knew that's where you start. They told me I was stupid, fat and ugly. Okay, I'm not stupid. Put myself through school. I'm not fat. I worked out, and I worked out, continuously. I worked out so much that I became, an actor and a model. I got a few magazine covers. I got to travel across the country. And I just went into action. And I'm not trying to make this about me, but I'm just trying to tell my story.
Sure, of course.
So once I got done, doing that and really rebuilding myself, and not to rebuild myself to be this glamorous guy, but to make myself solid and confident and comfortable with who I was, and being able to share my story, with you and your listeners, and to be able to say, like, hey, you can make this. I love superheroes, as a really quick side note. I knew that my life was supposed to be a testament. I knew that my superpower was going to manifest because of the struggle. And I can't say that it never did, because I think my superpowers, I found who I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And many people aren't able to find that. I wanted to jump back just for a second. When you were 19, 20 years old and you had this epiphany, you said you knew where to start, with all the things that have happened, but how did you really come up with that? I really want my listeners to understand how you were able to have that aha moment or that pivotal moment to say, I want something different. I need something different. I need to change.
Well, and it's an awesome thing, even why I do what I do. I knew that the answer that I needed and the clues, or at least the direction I needed to go in, was not going to come from inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Just having the cognition to say there's more is the start. I needed someone else's perception and vision. And just like we all know, if you look for something hard enough, you'll find it. What is that guy? I cannot think of this guy's name, and always struggle, but this guy just made such an amazing point. He rephrased it. He said, so what happened to you when you were 8 is keeping you back right now? And that just really was like, wow.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm 8. I had no choice. I'm, 19, 20. I have a choice. I have a license. I can, I have the know-how. I have the intelligence. And that really put the ball back into my court and gave me the power to say, let me fix this, versus saying I can't do anything.
Yes. Well, yeah, definitely. It puts you in a proactive standpoint, an accountability standpoint, as opposed to obviously a child who doesn't have a voice. Yeah.
Right.
How did you go from this 19, 20 year old, you changed your life, you did all these things. How did you kind of start to navigate your life to say, you know what, I have something in me that I want to help people find their happiness?
Well, it's a funny thing you said that, James. What I had to do was I had to get back on track, so to speak, with communicating. For me, I didn't talk that much when I was younger because I was always scared I was going to be hit, hurt to some degree. I said, I needed to become a bartender. Bartenders can talk to anybody and everybody, and
true.
I can talk to anybody and everybody. I'm like, why not?
Yeah.
It's like, it's the best communication piece that people just people underestimate. And it made me uncomfortable, and that's why I'm like, I got to do it. And I was great at bartending, you know, all modesty aside, it's because it wasn't, people don't care about their Manhattan. People love the way you make them feel.
Yeah,
they really
exactly.
do. You can take 8 minutes to make a drink, but if you can make them laugh when you bring it to them or reframe it in such a way when, you know, sweetie, these are the finest cherries, you know, from across the land. And you say something like that, people appreciate that. Because like yeah. Maya Angelou said, it's people might forget who you are, but they never forget how you made them feel.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And that's what it's about. You know, from there, I went from bartending to, you know, looking into, you know, not looking, but doing acting and modeling. And from there, when I got done, I said, I don't want to make other people money. And that's when I was like, I started looking at entrepreneurship. And of course, you know, I'm not just a person who says, you know, hey, I'm a coach. I have a coach. I have three coaches. And at the time, my one coach said, you really should look into life coaching. And at the time I was like 29 and I said to him, I was like, you are crazy. I was like, what do I know about being a life coach? I told him, I was like, I'm barely 30 years old. And, you know, being the smart guy that he was and why I paid him such good money, he said, well, Vernon, you have multiple lives already.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point.
And that really impacted me. And it really reframed things. I hadn't thought about my past, but he really brought it to the future in such a positive way.
Yeah.
And that's where it got started.
How did you develop your concept of happiness?
So it's a funny thing also. It's when I sat back and I looked at my clients, bar regulars, and I've networked with different, you know, people throughout life. I always paid attention to people always said, hey, I always felt a lot better when I finished talking to you. And then they would go out and do different things. And kind of the underlying, you know, principle there for me was if people feel better when they talk to me, I wonder what would happen if I kind of gave them some nudges through the power of questions, not advice, but through the power of questions. And that's when I really noticed it was happiness. That's one of the many things, one thing that we all, I don't care what race, I don't care what nationality, I mean, it doesn't matter. We all looking to be happy. That's why people buy like five or six cars and buy these McMansions and, you know, do these things in life. And we're not taught how to be happy. You're taught to buy things. You're taught to go to school. You're taught to, you know, have get married, have 2.5 kids, buy this, buy that. But most people don't sit down and say, hey, this makes me happy and this is what I want to do. And when you do that, you'll be amazed of how much happier and how much more brilliant your life becomes, how energized you are in life.
An intrinsic awakening as opposed to external factors which mitigate that or cause you to feel happy just for a short period of time.
Yeah, exactly. But think about it. You know, why would if you only can drive one car to town, why do you have five? Like one of my clients.
I know, right?
And I get it. I love cars. Don't get me wrong. But if you sit down and all of a sudden you can't drive the car because it's flooding outside and you can't do any of these things to distract you and you have to sit down and be with whoever you are, Mr. and Mrs. Client, what do you do? And then some people will look at you, you know, dead face. I mean, dead in eyes like, I don't know. Like, well, this is an excellent place to start.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you happy?
And what are the things that you typically find when you strip all that, the external factors away, what do you think are some of the main reasons why people struggle with finding their internal happiness?
Well, outside of staying on a script of what we're supposed to do in life, which gets people tripped up, the number one thing I encounter is low energy, hands down, no way to deny it. Would you like to kind of give you some examples of low energy?
Sure.
Struggling to make decisions. Procrastination is what some people call it. I'm not a fan of that. You just kind of put things off because I don't use labels. You're very irritable, very irritable. You feel a sense of just something's missing, disorganization. You can't keep, you just really can't keep a schedule down. You might be a bit more aware of certain circumstances that really don't benefit you than others. It shows up in such a variety of ways. It's a little different for everybody, but it generally comes from low energy. Always see it.
Okay. Well, that's a really good factor. So I think that my listeners definitely need to, if you hear some of the things that Vernon said, you really want to make sure if you are, I don't want to say a victim, but if you suffer from low energy, then it definitely is something that Vernon can help you with. There are different topics that I've seen that you work with. One of it is, of course, is energizing one's life for success. But the other one is zip your inner critic. Tell me more about that.
Oh, yeah. So the inner critic is what we're all are so familiar with, that voice in your head that when you watch, you know, American Idol, and let's just say you have a particular talent for singing, and you said, wow, I want to do that, and I want to go on the stage, and as fast as you turn the TV off and you get ready to find your favorite song, and this is just an example for by chance, but all of a sudden you'll hear, you can't do that. Mm. Or again, why would you want to apply for that job? You're not smart enough. Why would you talk to that guy or girl? You're not attractive enough. That is the inner critic. And it's that speech is just, and it changes a little bit depending on the crowd, just because some things people want to hear a little more of, a little less of. But it's about people understanding. And I just briefly explained to critics, like I did, just a little bit longer in more detail. But it's telling you what you have to do to shut it down and shut it off eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And it's really not that complicated.
Yeah, it's really true. I mean, you know, we think about the voices, or excuse me, we think about the things we would tell our friends. We would never tell them you can't do this. We would never tell them all these things. But unfortunately, we allow ourselves to listen to that voice within our head. Same concept as well. If we don't allow people to speak like that to us out externally, and we would never talk to someone like that, why do we do it internally? So it's really something that you exactly like you said, very easy to shut it down.
But the critic is there to protect you. That's mm-hmm. the fact of it. I don't want to vilify the critic. Without mm-hmm. the critic, you would do some very gregarious behaviors. I'll just kind of throw it and blanket it with that. But you might do some things that don't really benefit you. Hey, maybe I shouldn't go running out in traffic. But sometimes being safe does not mean you're going to be successful. And safe is such a subjective word, is why we got to filter the critic. Filter the critic so you can decide if it's really a decision that benefits your future or it doesn't benefit your future.
I really like the fact that you clarified that, because as this is a really good example that we all have different understandings of different words, the connotations mm-hmm. that we have. For example, my version of critic is slightly different than yours. So it's another really good lesson for all of us that anytime we have communication, anytime we're talking to people, if there's a slight disconnect with what people, how they may hear a word or how they understand it, then the communication is going to be a little off. So this was a great impromptu lesson between Vern and myself as far as how to clarify those different types of things. So wonderful. Well, speaking of that, you also talk about grammar. Grammar makes or breaks happiness. Tell us more about that.
Oh, yeah. So grammar, that's a really slippery slope for a lot of people. It's the self-talk that we do. So it's kind of the critic, but it's more how we present ourselves to people. I'm going to get to that tomorrow, or I might be able to do that. Or what's a really good example? One day I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Perfect example of how your grammar can get in your way. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, well, one day I'm going to do that. What day? Be very specific. Tomorrow, Tuesday, mm-hmm. because it becomes that you can anchor your words to an action, mm-hmm. or you can actually decide your happiness with words. It's so powerful. You can be really tired. And James, I know you work long days, long hours. You mentioned your travel schedule. When you say I'm tired, guess what happens? What does your mind mm-hmm. hear?
Yeah.
That's permission to go to sleep. That's mm-hmm. permission to drop your head down. That's permission to be grumpy. When you rephrase it, like, you know, I've had a really long, successful day today. And it frames it in a way where your mind is like, hey, you know what? I do feel a little lower in energy, but it's because of this. And it makes you look at your accomplishment and your successes.
Yeah. One thing I really like for people to look at is the difference between can't versus won't. I can't do this yep. versus I won't do this. There's a difference between coming from a place of power, where I will not do this, versus I cannot do this, which is a place of having no power at all.
Right. Exactly. It's, we're not taught. I don't want someone just using, you know, parsing on syntax, but just to really be, really choose your words carefully, especially when it comes to your future and how you empower or, you know, communicate with others.
Mm-hmm. Because obviously the more you say something over and over again, you're going to believe it, whether that's when you're in your internal self-talk or whether you were told something as a child and you live that out as an adult, what we say becomes our reality.
Amen. And I live that. That's mm-hmm. why I'm so careful about my words, even to myself. Last week I was having a particularly tough day and I was like, what is going on? I'm like, what is going on? It's par for the course. And it's just saying that, it just really reminded me of my goals and my dreams. Mm-hmm. And it just, bam, it hits the switch again. Like, that's right. That's right. This is what I'm going to do.
We have what's called, in my field, in psychology, we have what's called emotional forecasting. Emotional forecasting is essentially what I feel right now, and that's how I'm going to feel forever. And so when we forecast that out and we struggle with something, then we think that our life is always going to be, has so much anxiety, or that we're going to be not successful. And so it is really important for us to, like you were able to do, it's par for the course, but realize that it's par for the course. It doesn't mean it's going to be like that forever, nor will it be like that right. for another hour. There could be someone could say something or do something something that completely changes your mind or completely makes you forget about whatever it was you experienced. And all of a sudden that emotional forecasting is no longer there because you have a completely right. different shift in your mentality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. 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 Thank you for explaining that.
Tell me more about your coaching. You've worked with 10,000 people, which is amazing. And you're going to mm-hmm. double that Thank as well. Help me understand more about that, because I would love for my listeners to reach out to you as well.
So it's been 4 years, going into my fourth year. What, and do the math, it's over 10,000. What I'm doing, as I was meeting with people one-on-one, this year I'm really focused on speaking engagements. I'm really anchored on doing more workshops, doing more engaging workshops so I can reach more and more people. Mm-hmm. The first couple years, I flipped and flopped. I had to figure the system out, figure out how to do it. And now I've got like, okay, I'm figuring this out. And then I start going faster and faster and getting people, you know, to where they need to be in, you know, 3 months or less. But it's about taking this year and really focus on people becoming more successful and happier where they are. Not that people aren't happy, but who doesn't want to be happier?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's the thing. I mean, everyone who's successful continues to be more successful. And when you play up, just like in sports, when you play up with people who are more successful than you, if that's either externally or internally, however you want to quantify that, then you too will then start to improve your own life as well.
Amen. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's wonderful. Now, with your coaching, do you do it in person or do you do it online as well?
I do it online and in person, yes. And I always let my clients know there's no excuse why we cannot meet, whether virtually, mm-hmm. Just like even ourselves, you Skype, there's so many video messenger apps, and we can break it down to the good old phone. So there's no reason why this cannot happen.
No. So you definitely take the excuses out. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Gets to the point. Like, you've been sitting on this for the last 20 years. Would you like to break up with this, whatever the circumstance is? Well, great. Let's get serious about it and not look for reasons why this won't work, but why it will.
Exactly. Well, it goes back to the whole thing of I'll do it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow never comes. We're, you know, talking about that, the word choices we use. Yep. Exactly. That's good. So what's on the horizon for you?
So on the horizon, I've got 2018 is loaded with workshops. I'm going to be speaking to a lot of women's groups about and doing conducting happiness, just happiness workshops so people can realize, you know, business professionals, their moms, their lawyers, they're just professionals, and they're trying and they're doing everything great, but they want to do everything greater. And I'm just really focused on hands-on approaches that people can use to apply things. There are a lot of concepts out there without any practices. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I come in.
Excellent.
So showing people how to apply the principles and try to apply these tactics and apply, you know, happiness. You know, how can you improve, you know, where your current relationship is? Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah. Instead of just talking about it only, but you also give them practical tools and techniques to successfully accomplish their goals. Excellent.
Amen. Right on.
Well, Vernon, it has been such an awesome time talking with you. If my listeners would like to work with you or reach you in any way, where will they find your information online?
All right. So you can go to What's Your Happy. It's happy with an I, not with a Y.com. What's Your Happy.com. You can reach my email at Vernon, V-E-R-N-O-N, at What's Your Happy. And again, it's happy with an I.com. And I also have my Facebook group, facebook.com, and you just type in What's Your Happy. And again, happy with an I.
Excellent. Well, Vernon, thank you so much for being a guest on my show today. It was an absolute pleasure talking with you today.
James, you're great people. Thank you for taking the time.
I also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in today. Please subscribe to this radio show through whichever portal you joined with us today, or please go to my website where you may sign up for my free newsletter, watch my YouTube episodes, read the articles I've written specifically for you, or you may enroll in the Lifeology Academy where you can take self-directed courses which will help you simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. If you'd like to personally work with me, be a guest on, or advertise in this show, simply visit jamesmillerlifeology.com. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms under the name James Miller Lifeology, except for Twitter, which is James M. Lifeology. Once again, thank you so much for your support, and I'll talk to you soon.